We're here? Yeah, we are now. We are there. Awesome. Shakendi Biolova Shuku. Thank you, Father. Well, tonight, did anybody really sense something that God was doing? I could saw two people there with the tissues out, so obviously God was doing something there, but did you sense God doing something here tonight? Amen? Come on. Was there something going on? Yeah. There was something happening. I know, I could feel it. And crazy thing is, sometimes when things like that happen, that there could be a person here said, I feel nothing. Well, that's all right, okay? Sometimes it happens. I've been in meetings where people said, look, the Holy Ghost is moving in. I thought, I didn't feel a thing. You know, so it does happen, okay? But the truth is, I did sense God was doing something here tonight, and something has been changed, and hearts, and healings, and emotional beings, and all that sort of stuff. And God is in the restoration business. In the healing business, the revelation business. It's awesome. Very, very cool. You know, I just want to pick up on where we were. Are we on? Yeah. We're going live stream. Yeah, yeah, where we go. Go camera and just push button. There we go. You're on? Okay. Right, I'm starting to feel like Benny Hinn. I'm on candid camera. Don't know if I act like Benny Hinn. No, I probably don't preach like him either. So anyway, I was actually wanting to back this up on really where we were in the last few weeks or months. I think we started this thing about some of the stage before Christmas, and it was really about the whole thing of the promises of God and entering into the fullness of God, the fullness of who He is and His promises and what they mean and pertain to and so forth. And the IT people there are having problems. That's all right. And actually, I really want to pick up from where we were last week. And I talked last week about the whole aspect of covenant and circumcision. Now, it wasn't last week, it was a week before, actually, to be honest, get it right. And hopefully somebody got something. I got some very positive remarks back on the Monday morning, and generally though, I get bad remarks. No, I don't get bad remarks on a Monday morning, but they were positive, actually, and that something had actually happened and as they thought about some of that stuff. Because what I was talking about, when you realize that when we entered into covenant, that also circumcision took place. And when circumcision took place, the one amazing thing, according to what the Bible says, that somehow Jesus actually got the knife on our heart and cut away the flesh. I'm not sure how he did that, but that's what the Bible says. And our hearts become circumcised. And actually in the midst of that whole thing of the covenant and that package come together, we end up with a circumcision of heart, which in actual fact, according to the Bible, said that he cut away the old carnal nature from around us. That's quite out there, isn't it, when you think about that? He's saying he took something in the day when we come into covenant, and he just went, I'm just going to prune that away and release this person into freedom so they don't have to live from an old nature. Come on, hello, that is pretty awesome, isn't it? That is pretty awesome when you think about that he could actually take in the midst of a whole covenant he's putting into place, that the circumcision had to be a sign for the covenant, so that when you actually came into it, all of a sudden your heart was circumcised because you had actually come into the fullness of a covenant. And all of a sudden old nature got pruned away, and then old you started disappearing. Now what I want to talk to you tonight about is actually where to disappear to. That's the good point, isn't it? Because the problem is that I've been saying the last few weeks there's a huge divide and sometimes pierce people's spiritual walk before what the Bible says and how we feel and what goes on. Come on, be real. Isn't that true? The Bible says this, and you can go and let's be really honest. Well, that doesn't fit me because it ain't happening in my life. True? And you're thinking, well, how come the Word of God is true and it's saying that this is how it works, but yet in my life I'm a bit of a mess. I'm still spinning out of control and I still seem to be having all sorts of dramas going on, and yet the Bible says that it shouldn't be like that. Come on, hello. So why is that? Why is that? I mean, I guess that's where I want to get to tonight. I've been talking about this for a number of weeks because actually the truth is this thing bugs me. It really bugs me. because the Bible says one thing, and yet our lives don't seem to add up to what the Bible says. So if there's something that's not adding up to what the Bible says, then either the Bible was wrong, or we've got it wrong. Or we've misinterpreted what the Bible says, or there's something in there that we never got. Come on. Let's get really real here tonight. I am getting pretty real, aren't I? Because this is true, what I'm talking about here. We have this situation that goes on where there's a divide between the reality of the Word and the reality of our life. And sometimes we look at it and we just go, well, I don't get this. In fact, that is why we end up in situations where we have backsliders in church, and we have situations where people slide away from God because it didn't work. Or some people say, well, I'll carry on doing this, I'll fake it to the make it to see if it'll work, you know? Isn't that true? Many people are faking it to the make it because they want to actually see if they can work this thing out, and after many, many years, slowly the thing may start falling into place, but it was a flipping tough journey on the way through. Well, I want to fast forward that thing, amen? Because I've actually seen some things. Yes, Dean? He did, Dean. You're absolutely right. You're onto this thing. He created us. And His image, the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We were talking about that the other night at Quippers, actually. I want to actually say this tonight, that as we kick into gear, that your identity will determine your behavior. Okay? So whatever your identity is, I can tell you that will determine your behavior. If your identity is completely legit and it's in the God factor, your behavior will be God behavior. If your identity is still in the flesh, your flesh will be a flesh behavior, because your identity still is locked into that identity. Come on, now this is scary, isn't it? Because once I start saying this, you're going, well, you're telling me I've got no identity because my behavior is like that. Well, that's right. Sorry. I mean, I'm getting a bit rugged, I know, but there's truths in what I'm saying. Because the thing is, wherever our identity is, something of our life will be the shape of what that identity is. So actually, even at what it talks of, in First John, First Epistle, in the third chapter, it goes down a list there, and I've read that, and I'm not going to do that tonight. Well, maybe I will. Who knows? And it talks about whose nature do you derive your nature from? That's what it says, I think, actually, in Old King James. No, New King James. So in other words, whatever you draw your nature from, whatever kingdom, will determine what you look like. That's a scary thought, isn't it? That is a freaky thought. Because actually I've done some things in my life and said some things in the heat of the moment, and I'm thinking, well, that didn't look good, did it? Huh? It's true? And so you're thinking to yourself, shoot, I don't think that came from the kingdom of God. So,
of course it's true, you shot yourself out of the kingdom,
didn't you? Yeah, that's right. Dean, you're a shitty boy tonight. So if when we can understand that, it's actually... When you understand that, this actually starts putting question marks around it. The Bible says this, He blotted out and He wiped out all the requirements against us, and He disarmed the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and so forth, doesn't it? So in actual fact, He defeated all this stuff, and now obviously, according to the Word of God, that there is nothing that should be against us today, but there seems to be a hang of a lot that is. Huh? So it's actually, you look at all that and you go, well, hang on, how does that actually all work out? I just said about the actually, He gave us a covenant, He gave us circumcision, and according to the Word of God, it says that when the covenant came, and He actually came with His knife, and He circumcised our heart, and He cut away the old flesh, which the Bible says was the old nature, and He carves it away, and He lives us a new heart. Well, according to that, it seems like that really seems real simple, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It sounded so simple the way I said that, and yet seems like that we seem to still have a battle going on inside, an internal battle going on, even though the Bible says that the old flesh got cut away, and actually we have got a new nature. Come on, I think I'm getting everybody messed up here tonight, because it's like the Bible's saying this and we're doing this, and it's like, hello. Okay, let's just get a little bit further through here. Can we just turn tonight, and we're going to turn to Romans chapter 6. And I want to just define this a little bit. Because I really honestly believe there's some reasons why we are what we are. And I think some of this is very, very simple, which is that we haven't defined the cross. Amen? We haven't defined the cross. You know, how much today do you actually hear preached on the cross? Actually, you know, there's hardly any preaching on the cross. I have no idea why on earth, all of a sudden, we actually onto all sorts of things, people flying through planets and people having out-of-body experiences. Look, none of that. I've got nothing against that. I'm not knocking that, okay? I'm not knocking any of it. I'm just saying there seems to be more emphasis on that than there is to actually change our life. Now, don't think I'm saying here tonight.
Jesus put himself there on the cross.
He did, mate. You're onto it. Man, you could preach this better than I could. Actually, you know what? The point here is that all these things that we can do, which are awesome, are great. You know, we can have an out-of-body experience and get caught in the heavenly realms and we can have all sorts of courtroom experiences. I'm knocking any of that, okay? I'm just saying that is great. But if we can't get 101 Christianity sorted to understand why we do, why on earth are we chasing something that's irrelevant to our salvation? Are you with me tonight? Come on. I'm not knocking the other. I'm just saying that actually we have got to come back to some 101 and find out why are we doing what we do and how do we live like we live when it's not even working properly and we don't even understand the function of the cross.
Right.
Okay? Right now I feel like preaching because I'm getting back here to what it says and actually in Romans chapter 6 and the Bible tells me this. It says this, it's talking about baptism by the way here, but it's talking more than that, it's giving an illustration, a breakdown of discerning actually what does the cross do. We're actually reading from Romans chapter 6 in the first verse and it says, what shall we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay? What is it saying here? It's saying that shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Right there, there's a problem right there. We have become so sin conscious, yet the Bible says sin is left powerless. Come on. It does say that. If I backed it back over to here, if you don't believe me, let me shoot across a little bit. For likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to what? Sin. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts. It's telling you here sin is defeated. Hallelujah. Sin has no power. And yet we get this thing, oh, you know, I'm just a sinner, being saved by grace. No, you're not, because the Bible doesn't say that. Come on. The Bible never said that. It says sin has been defeated. Sin has no longer power over you. Sin has been taken down. Sin has been cancelled, the Bible says. And yet we're going, I'm a sinner. I'm sinning every day. Man, oh, I just listen. I like some of that sin too. You know. That's true. It's got this huge contention that goes on within us. We want some of that sin because it feels really good and some of it we're just completely condemned because it's going on in our lives. And yet the Bible tells us sin has no power.
Yeah.
Come on. So why have we defined the cross wrongly when the Bible says this? Why are we running around with a sin-conscious state? Well, I'll tell you why, because we've had too many preachers preach sin-conscious messages for the last 200 to 300 years, and those sin-conscious messages got into you so much you believe you're a sinner. Hello, there we go. There's one of the reasons, it's not saying all the reason, but that's some of the reason. You've become so sin-conscious, you're just like the day Adam and Eve were in the garden. All of a sudden, one day they looked at themselves, whoo, I don't think I should look like this. They go, I didn't know I had all these bits and pieces on me, you know. And then all of a sudden, let's go and find it. Let's get a leaf. How big do we want the leaf, you know?
And they're running to find whatever it was, the banana leaf, the whatever leaf. Come on, it's not big enough. Come on, stitch another one. Let's get covered up. Come on, I've got you laughing at least. I've got you laughing. I'm shocking you now, actually. But the truth is, that's what did happen. Isn't that true? And right in the midst of this, they get covered up, and all of a sudden they realize that I'm separated from God. He's walking in the garden. I don't know what to do about this because I just want to hide myself. And all of a sudden they realize they're banned out of the garden, and they've got a flaming torch stuck in the garden, and here they are completely separated from God. They walk away as orphans. I talked about this the other night at Quippers. Folk, I tell you right then, sin consciousness came over man, and it stayed with man, because they knew, just looking at themselves, I'm not supposed to look like this. Sin consciousness had gripped them. And folk, I'm telling you, we are still preaching sin-conscious messages today, and we're actually contrary to what the Word of God says, that sin has been defeated. Because Jesus defeated it. He put that thing under his feet, and he said, there shall be no more. And yet we still want to pull it up and say, I'm a sinful man. And that's not what the Bible says. I just read it out, did I not? Folk, we're going to start rethinking what the cross did. Start rethinking what Jesus did for you and I. And we'll start seeing ourselves in a completely different light. Yes, Dave? He did, bro. He's still doing a good job.
Yes.
He's looking after you too. Right, let's go. Where are we? I'm reading, actually, from Romans chapter 6. So we all admit that sin consciousness is a problem. Because probably it's been preached too long and not defined the cross properly. Let's get back to this. Goes to actually says in the second verse, and it says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's an interesting concept, isn't it? We died to sin. Whoa! You ever thought of that? That we actually died to sin. But not us, it was in Christ. We were in Him to such an extent, completely, with the purpose to free mankind, that somehow, and I don't know how, but I believe that what it's saying there, we were in the midst of that cross when He was crucified. Come on, you're going to argue with me. I can see you going, oh no, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to go back and ask you this question tonight. I'll mess your theology up so bad tonight on this. How come when we actually get to Ephesians chapter 1, and we read Ephesians chapter 1, and it says that we are predestined in God. And then it goes on to say that we are in Him. Come on. We are in Him. I don't know what that looks like back there. He knew us before the foundations of the earth, He's saying. That's what it's telling us. And here we are, the Bible saying that we are in Him before the foundations of the earth. Now, I don't really care how we want to argue this thing, and we can believe it's this way, that way, whatever. But I want to say tonight, that however form that was, and whatever way you want to argue this thing, I can tell you, you were in Him. The Bible says it. Now, if you want to argue it, how come that Jeremiah... Jeremiah. He is being prophesied to. He said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Hello? How are you going to argue that one? I can give you scripture after scripture. I keep going and doing this. So somehow or other, we were in God's eye. We were there in spirit. I don't know how you want to equate the thing, but in actual fact, if we were in Christ before the foundations of the earth, as the Bible says, then actually how come that when we get to the point of the cross and He said we were with Him in the form of saved from sin. So what happened in that thing of the great divide, that we were so much ingrained into the heart of God, so much in Him, From the time of the beginning of the foundation of the earth, right until the cross, that something of the fullness of mankind was in the heart of God to have them freed from the fallen Adam, where it all went wrong. To bring us into alignment, to break the power of sin and death over their lives. Now, I think I'm getting through here, am I not? And when we start seeing ourselves through that, from that point of view, and actually saying, well, man, I was so enmeshed into God. I was so enmeshed into that cross. I was so enmeshed into Jesus. He had so much love for me. He put me in the midst of that enmeshment to actually set me free from sin and death. He actually put me to such a place that he actually not only took the cross, but he put me in the midst of that thing to release me from the powers of sin and death. He released me from the bondages. He released me from my curses. He became the curse. He actually became everything. And you were meshed into the fullness of that DNA and the identity of who he was to actually come out the other side, that you come out as a free being, that even your heart was stripped away and cut away in circumcision, that actually the fullness of that thing as it was removed, that you come out in a new creation, as the Bible says in second chapter of the second book of Corinthians. It tells you in the fifth verse that we were the new creation. How could we be a new creation if your old flesh and your old carnal nature was cut away from your heart and it was pulled away because you had been enmeshed in the fullness of that cross? Come up! I feel like preaching it. Have you got what I'm saying tonight? And yet we are actually running around saying, when we know that we must be in the midst of that, and our identity is formed in that, then we're turning around and saying, I just feel like a sinner. Come on, I think you slapped God in the face right then. And he said, you're a hypocrite. Because you have actually denied the power of the cross in your life. Are you with me tonight? And yet we've got churches across the globe that believe this stuff and can't see the cross was great enough. Are you with me tonight? Amen. And that is why we have a weak church today that can't see the cross is great enough for their sin. Can't see the cross was great enough to forgive them. Can't see the cross had done enough. And we don't even have messages on it any longer. And it's 101 Christianity. If you haven't got that one right, I tell you, you're going to have a whole bunch of weak people falling over and dry bones scattered across the face of the earth because they don't know who they are in Christ. Shukum babasika. Let's actually read this again. We get to, I actually don't even think I'm going to get past one scripture here tonight. I've got a page full of stuff. I don't know how that's going to happen. Anyway, let's keep going. Shindi andalukum basika. Shanabalushukundi biasandidi andalukubishi. Do you see why I said that your identity will determine your behavior? Hallelujah. Right, let's just read on. It says that we died to sin who no longer live in us, or no longer live in it. Nor do you know that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Totally immersed in that death of who he is. Fourth verse. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ has raised the dead by the glory of the Father, that we should walk in the newness of life. Listen to this fifth verse. You commit that we, the Bible just said, we were buried with him in the baptism into the death and so forth. There's glory. We should come forth and walk in that newness of resurrection power is what it's really saying. Fifth verse, it says this, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Come on, let's get hold of this here tonight. We were united together. Look, if I went back to the original translation, it would say we're one with him in death. That's what the Amplified Bible would say. You and I were one with him in the place of death. Okay? United together in death, as the King James would say. I don't know, some other translations probably say a very similar thing. How could you be united together in him and one, and he's going to the cross? Come on, good thought. Think about it. If we were absolutely one with him, in who she, what happened, I had to be somehow, either, if this was Mark and he was Jesus, If that was the case, I'd have to somehow almost get inside this guy. Isn't that true? I'd have to be so connected, actually, we become
one.
Okay? Are you getting a picture? We actually somehow become so one, we almost become inside each other, or maybe we were inside him, to become one, that you and I walked out as a free man, because not only Jesus died, but in the oneness, we walked out together, walked in together, and walked out together. When, why ever did it say in John chapter 17, think about this, why ever did it say in John 17 that we were in Christ, and the Father is in the Son, and the Son's in the Father, and we are in Him in oneness together? Whoa, come on. And it says that we've lived in that oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that the world would believe we'd become so one. And that the Bible's saying here that even that oneness that was talking of, that Jesus was talking about, we're talking about oneness at the point of the cross. Come on. Now we're getting deep. How do we equate that when you actually think we were in the midst of that oneness, so that you and I could go free, because He actually worked out work, the finished work of the cross in you, as well as it was worked out in Him, to bring the oneness of a Trinity into the fullness of the cross. Man, that's deep. Is it not? That is deep. But that's what happened, because I've just read it. When we get hold of that, we all of a sudden realize that you and I died. We died proper. We were one there in that death. We were one in that crucifixion. We were one in that place. For you, Veronica, bless your sister. I thought you were an angel, but I just realized it was Veronica. Oh, yeah, okay. And so, when we get hold of that, all of a sudden we realize that this sin thing has been defeated. Can you've got this in your spirit now? When you get to there, you realize that there is no sting in death anymore. There's no sting in this sin thing anymore either. This thing has actually properly been dealt with. You've been properly dealt with. And then we go on and actually read. Yeah, sister.
One.
Oh, you're in the one. You're in one. Okay. Let's have a look again. We'll just read on. United together in His death. So, why were we likened together in His death? Certainly, we also shall be the likeness in His resurrection. Okay, let's get hold of that. So if we were there in the midst and meshed in this whole thing of the crucifixion, and we're in the midst in Jesus, in the Trinity, in the midst of all this, then actually when He actually gets risen, and your old life is dropped off, as I'll get to there in a minute, you came up when He came up.
Amen.
You rose when He rose.
Amen.
Come on. How cool is that? You actually said, goodbye, old man. Goodbye, sin. I'm out of here. I'm road to glory. You know, hallelujah. Isn't that right? That's exactly what happened. You say, see you later, old fella. I'm on my way to glory. I'm on my way to happiness. You know that? What was the next bit of that verse? Ha 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 ha. I'm on my way. I'll see you later. Come on. You know, come on. That's flipping awesome, though, isn't it?
Well,
at least I got you laughing. But it's true. Because unless we start understanding, we dropped it off. And we're on the road to happiness, on the way to glory. Father, we're on the way to new life. Then all we're going to do is wallow around in our sin-conscious state and just go, poor me.
Yep.
He didn't do enough. And we insulted God. We slapped Him in the face and said, well, why did you do that? Because it doesn't work in me. That's what happens, my friend. Isn't it? Shikandalia kabasi kandalia mukushu. You know, I started getting this a few years ago and started seeing it from a few different angles. Okay, there's some of this stuff I know it'll rattle your cage tonight. You're thinking, well, he's saying to me, I actually was alive, actually way back before the foundation. I don't really care what you think, but if you want to think that, it's fine. I don't know what shape that was. I think I know in my own heart what it is. I'm going to let you work your scriptures out on that. But personally, myself, I believe we were somehow, in the eyes of God, alive and well. However that may be. We were just joking around this when we were in set up before.
And somebody was being smart to me and saying that I was older than them. And I said, no, we're not all the same age. I said, I'm actually 1 million years old. And so are you. And, I mean, I don't know how old I am. But what I'm trying to say is, if we're in the heart of God way back then, I don't know how far that back that was. That could have been at the other end of eternity for all we know. None of us will ever know, okay? What is eternity? There is no space of time in eternity. It's back there. And out there is the other side of eternity. There is no about there, this way and that there, that way either, by the way, because it's just eternity, okay? So who knows? Who knows where this happened? We don't know. Remember one thing, that we're eternal, my friend. We are an eternal being. We are a spirit being and we're eternal. And I don't know how you even get your head around that. I can't even get my head around that. Can you get your head around that? I can't. I'm just like, I'm eternal. I'm just like, what does that look like? I'm a spirit. Okay, what does that look like? Where did it come from? I don't know, but I'm on my way to eternity, you know. Eternity's out here. And actually, some of that stuff, I really don't really care about a doctrine on it at all, but it's just one of those great mysteries of God, and I think we just got to be content with that. Amen? Okay, let's have a look. Let's go on. Shoot, time's running off. Thank you, Lord. Sixth verse. Okay, we admit that we've been united together in His likeness. We've actually been in that whole thing of the crucifixion. Now we're actually coming into the fullness of the resurrection, and the oneness and fullness of the Trinity is coming forth. We are still one, meshed into that whole thing. Okay, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin may be done away. With that we shall no longer be what? Slaves to sin. Come on! You didn't believe me before, did you? Now you believe me, because that's what it's saying. The Bible says it. It says that we are no longer slaves to sin, that old you has been done away with. I'm unaware of happiness, you know, I'm actually left them behind. Hallelujah. You know? Come on, I'll tell you, the thing I'm talking about here is the old you. And actually, can I put it in other terms, as I said before? The day He took that knife and ran it round your heart and cut away the old renewed self, cut away that old nature. That's what the Bible, I read it out the week before last. When He cut it away, that was the old you.
Hallelujah.
And actually, when you walked out of that place, it was, I'm on my way to happiness and I'm leaving you behind. Are you with me tonight? You see, if we start believing this stuff, and you say that I'm the dead man, and I'm risen with Christ, you will start seeing it in a whole different light. And I can tell you, I can prove this. I got this revelation a long, long time ago, and I proved one thing. Every time something popped up, I would just say, I'm a dead man. Every time something wanted to rattle your cage, I'm a dead man. You can't rattle a dead man. You can't even shift a dead man, because he's unshiftable. He's dead. Amen? And actually, when you start declaring, when things are going wrong, I'm the dead woman, I'm the dead man, because actually I died, I was united together with Him. I'm on my way to happiness, and He's gone, that old guy. He is dead. Amen? Come on, when you start talking that, and every time something gets in your way, and you actually say, yes, you're the dead man. Actually, if it's your wife doing, she throws a fizzy fit, I tell you, you say, you're a dead woman. If it's your husband, you say, you're a dead man. And I can tell you, every time you're with your friend and they have their hissy fit, you say, you're a dead person, because you cannot be alive. I tell you, when you start talking like that, all of a sudden, things begin to happen, because you're actually declaring what the Bible says. And you're actually in a place where actually the enemy's in fear and trembling, because he's going, oh, they got it. Amen? And I tell you, when we start living like that, sometimes this victory thing will start coming around you, and you'll start going, yeah, hallelujah. I'm actually walking in that place of the fear and trembling of the devil, because he knows that we understood the power of the cross. Oh, I feel like preaching here tonight. Because I tell you, if T.D. Jakes was here, he'd be happy. But I can tell you that actually, until we understand that revelation, we will continue to be held by sin and bound by the devil, living out of another nature, because we've never identified our true identity, which was in the finished work of the cross, and we were there. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shamba kasada. Shandalia basuku. Where are we? Ah, the Bible says it. It says that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Okay, I'm going to read. Yes, I will. I'll go right here now before we're going to run out of time. But it's all right. We've got weeks ahead of us. You may never come back tonight after this. I don't know. Shukundolo, 1 John. I want to read this to you tonight. If you don't believe me, I want to read this to you. Catch what it says here. Shindelia Kambasika. 14th verse. We're talking 1st epistle, 3rd chapter, 14th verse. For we know that we have passed from death to life. Amen? You got hold of that? Because we love the brethren, he who does not love his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. He who does not love abides in death. That's a serious, serious thing right there. Because it's telling us if we cannot love with a right attitude to our brethren, to our brother or sister, it doesn't even have to be in the church, it doesn't matter who it is, creation. If that love is not in us, then we're living in death. Do you know what that actually means? That actually means that if that is our heart and how we function, then we actually still at the place of death, at the cross. We are still in the place of death. We're still in the experience of death, but we have never understood what it is to say, goodbye, old man. I'm on the road to happiness. Hallelujah. I'm out of here. And you're a sucker. You're dead. Are you hearing me? That's what it says. That is what it is. It is actually still living in the place of death because love cannot reign in us if we are still in the place of death. But love can reign in the place of resurrection. True? Amen? So what it's saying here is, if that is what's going on in our life, somehow we haven't defined the cross to the place to be able to say, I have come into resurrection power. Now, okay, that's a hard word tonight. And probably you're going, I didn't want to hear that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Because some people, when they walk on the journey of being born again, but they've not defined the cross enough to understand they've come into resurrection power. Hallelujah. And until we define the cross to understand the power of resurrection power, then we're only living in the place of death. And it's ready. His Lord's going, come on, catch this revelation. And you're going to be out of this place on the way to happiness. Come on, are you happy tonight? Because I believe what the Lord's saying to the body of Christ, it's time then to define the cross and start living in victory. And when you define the cross and start living in victory, you'll start on the road to happiness. And you'll actually leave that old man behind because you've come into the power, resurrection power. Amen? Are you with me tonight? Because the church has never defined it. They preach rubbish messages. That's not because they somebody else taught them. They said, come on, let's actually preach a message and actually tell them they're all sinners. And we'll actually hold them in the churches and actually now I'm getting really tough, I know. And we'll actually get them to pay their tithe and we'll put fear into them, they're all sinners, and they'll stay, pay their tithes because I think they're on their way to hell. Now I know that's harsh, I know, but it's true. When actual fact, Jesus said he was full of grace and truth. And he came to you and I to set us free from sin. That our old life was gone. That we could be functioning in the fullness of our identity. And functioning in that to be effective to advance the kingdom of God. And without that, my friend, you will never advance the kingdom of God. You will never fulfill your ministry. You will never flow in the anointing until you catch that revelation. Are you hearing me tonight? And that's the way it is. John, I go to India a lot. You live in India. Isn't that true, what I'm saying? There's more messages preached about you're a sinner, this, da-da-da-da-da. I've heard it in India. And what it is, and I see it for India, I see it for Africa, it is a means because they bring people under the law. And under the power of the law, they will, the Bible makes it clear, if you are under the law, you will enforce sin. It's the way it's important as that. The law was to, what? It was to bring
understanding.
An understanding what was right and wrong, and to understand what sin was. That was the idea of it. Now, if you are under the law, I tell you what, you're going to live in sin consciousness continually. That's how it works. As soon as you break the power of the law and step into grace and understand the love of God, you'll break that thing and your life will change straight away. You think, you see, the thing is, if you live in sin consciousness, there will be no God consciousness. There will be a certain level of God consciousness. But when you live in sin consciousness, what is actually happening? You are looking at yourself continually as a sinner. I've got to get better. I've got to be right. I've got to make sure I don't get through this day without doing something wrong. Guess what happened? If you actually think like that, your day will be a suck day. In fact, every day will be a suck day. And every day you'll end up falling down and you'll actually end an absolute mess. Guess what happens? When you actually change your sin-conscious mind and you actually go and become a God-conscious mind, guess what happens? And you get up in the morning and say, Jesus, you are so good. Lord, I love you so much. You'll feel the love of God come into your heart just like that. And I'll tell you, when you're actually living and you'll feel the love of God come into your heart, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to be already worshiping as you go down the road, whatever it'll be. You'll be just completely living in a realm of the Spirit because you have focused yourself on the God consciousness on there instead of on the sin consciousness. And guess what happens? That day you'll have a day and there'll be no sin in that day, I guarantee you. And you do it the next day and all of a sudden you realize you've dropped your old man off because you've become a God conscious person instead of a sin conscious person, and you've actually got it started getting it right. And that is all God required of you, to actually start understanding, where is my focus? Where is my identity? My identity is Jesus. And then that identity is, when I become the God-conscious person, I will live a God-conscious life, and I will complete to start, stop sinning, and love will flow through me, because that is the command, because He loved you so much, He actually came to save you and to set you free. Hallelujah. Change our identity thinking. Change our confession of the way we see it. And I tell you, your life will change and you'll start living a victorious life. Can you give me 2 minutes to try to get this little bit out here? You know, the Bible talks in Colossians, Shindeli Kumba Sandeli Hashukundo Halabu Shundeli Amasika. Lord, whatever you say. I want to just read briefly in Colossians and we'll pick this up again. Is anybody getting something out of this tonight? And actually, when I was saying before about that stone, making confession that you're a dead man, a dead woman, just keep doing it. The first month it's a suck job and it's not working, just keep it up until that thing is in your spirit, because it took me a long time to actually convince my spirit man that that was the case. And I just had telling myself, I'm a dead man. Tell you, the best thing is have your funeral, there you go, and say, right, that's it, you're dead. That's the one thing that Norm MacLeod actually says, have your funeral and define the cross properly and watch what happens. Let's actually look at this. Where was it going, Lord? I was in Colossians, but there was a theme that the Lord was saying to me before, and it's just dropped out. Dropped out somewhere. It's dropped out. I'll pick this up on this here and we'll close. Yes, I know where it is. It's in the 8th and the 9th. It talks about the character of the new man. In Colossians, the character of the old man to the carnal side of our life. And I'm going to finish it on this, so we can pick this up again. But in the 8th, it talks about the carnality of a human being. It talks about, therefore, the third, fifth verse, it talks about putting to death your members which are on earth. In other words, that which is there, define the cross properly, see that stuff is actually, talks about fornication, uncleanness, passion, even desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Then it's talking about that whole thing, drop it off, that's the old man, okay? That's what it's saying, it's gone. And when we get down a little bit, Shandeli Kambasi Karabasuku Kumbaba Shandalabasi, 8th verse, and it says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. In other words, when you lived in that place in your old man state, this is how you lived. And then it goes on and it says, and now yourselves you are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and out of your mouth. Now actually I was reading that this yesterday. And now we're 4 minutes over. Now that clock's fast. It's all right. No, I'm not over at all. Hey, I got a revolver in my hands. And anyway, when I was reading that through, which is actually part of what how a lot of us can actually have things going on in our life. True? Is that true? Read through that. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go and check the meaning of malice. Now, I thought I roughly knew what malice meant. Jan, I want you to pick up your phone and you read it. You read it.
Oh, okay.
I tried to flick it. I needed that phone tonight, by the way, so I got Jan to put that onto her phone so she could read that out.
Malice, okay. The desire to harm someone.
Volume up.
Ill will.
Go, jump on that. Yeah, just play the keys at the same time. Get a bit of music going.
Okay. Ooh. So, spitefulness, spite, malevolence, maliciousness, animosity, hostility, ill will, ill feeling, hatred, hate, bitterness, venom, vindictiveness, vengefulness, revenge, couple of words I can't pronounce, evil intentions, enmity, devilment, devilry, bad blood, backbiting, gall, rancor, spleen, grudge. And then it goes on to say, in legal terms, malice is wrongful intention, especially as increasing the guilt of certain offences.
Whoa, did you get that? Man, when the Lord said to me, go check it out on Wikipedia, exactly what is the meaning of malice? That's a mouthful, I know, but that's pretty legit, actually. And I'll tell you what, when it gets to the end of that, it talks about the legal right of malice. Now, that's the bit I want to catch right now as we close. Because I think she read, I've got it written here anyway, the law will make you sin-conscious old man. That's how you, that was my terminology I put in there. That the old man. Hang on. Actually, no, I didn't write the whole thing down. It's all right, it doesn't matter anyway. But really what it was saying was, it was impairing the guilt. It was so much wanting to actually grab hold of what was your guilt and impair that guilt to actually force the guilt onto you, that you would actually have this is my terminology, that you would have more sin consciousness in your life of what you've done wrong. There you go. That's in common terms of what it was saying. So in other words, what it's saying, how many times have you seen this? Don't think I'm knocking churches tonight, I'm just being absolutely real. But how many times have you seen it that somebody gets it wrong in a church? Now, we all get it wrong, okay, at different levels. There wouldn't be one person here at some stage hasn't got it wrong. So let's be really honest. They're equal playing field. But actually, somebody may actually, okay, they went and embezzled some money. Let's use this as a terminology. So they defrauded somebody of $20,000. They went and did a six-month prison sentence, and they come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness. The moment they come to that, they did their sentence, they come out, and they ended up in a church. This isn't a case. I'm just giving you an example here, okay? How many times have you heard of a situation like that in the church? Oh, do you remember Bob when he did that way back there? You know, I wouldn't trust Bob, would you? No. No. Well, you know, he lost his family as well in the midst of all that. Yeah, that was terrible, really. They're cursing the guy. Don't give the guy a chance, okay? Isn't it true? And really, they're heaping the guilt onto him to impair the guilt, enforcing the guilt, enforcing the law, enforcing the sin, that this guy will never get freed from that. It's evil. It's sheer evil. And the Lord had come along and said, Bob, you're my son. I love you with all my heart. I've forgiven you and I washed you clean. And he probably did it probably a week after that happened, if he brought it before the Lord. And here we are 20 years later, digging this stuff up and trying to enforce that sin and that guilt on a person. Malice. Come on, are you with me tonight? I know, you always are, Dan. I love you, bro. You're awesome, awesome. At least I got one friend. You know. But so listen, are you getting my point tonight? Why would we want to walk in the lifestyle of the old life, enforcing some of that rubbish on others out of malicious criticism? We read it tonight. What a list that was. And the Lord said to me, he said, find out the true meaning of what that is. And he actually even told me to do it off the internet, by the way. Wow. And I picked that up today on Wikipedia. Well, yesterday it was, actually. And pulled it out. What a mouthful of what that is of malice. And the church is full of it, my friend. Yeah. I'm not talking about this church, the one down the road. I want to get out of here alive tonight. I think you got my point. Because I believe God is cleaning his church up, cleaning us up for us to live as dead men and live in resurrection power, that we will be effective for the next revival. There will be nothing hold it back. And it's you and I that will hold it back. But when we clean our own lives up, I tell you, there's no chance the devil isn't going to hold on us. Because as much of that stuff, if we actually action that, I can tell you there's as much curse goes on to our life with the nonsense we actually come out of our mouth as anything else. And then we have this heaviness over us. And we wonder why we can't fly. We're scratching like a turkey in the dust. And I say, well, I've never had a ministry. Of course you're never going to get a ministry because your mouth is unclean. Amen. Your mouth is unclean. Your attitude is unclean. You're looking at everything through negative eyes. Everything you see is through a negative mindset. And you wonder why you can't fly. Are you hearing me tonight? I don't want to be heavy tonight. I just want to be honest, okay? That's what my Bible says. We just read that, what it said. That is the old man. And that is the old man that's dead. Come on, you want to live with me as a dead man? Or you want to live with as a dead woman with me? I mean, you can't go wrong on this because the Bible says it. And I tell you, you will actually rise up into resurrection power and walk in victory. Come on, I'm closing. That's it. I reckon we should do this together tonight. Originally, our plan was we're going to have communion around this, and then the Holy Ghost moved and he did something different. So it's like, that's not going to happen. But can you stand with me tonight? Shanda Bakasandiliaka Shukru. Thank you, Lord. Shanabada Yanda Lia Kambasika Kasiku. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I gotta get everybody link hands tonight. All those rows, everything, and get some unity in here. Make some declaration. Actually, I'm gonna do some declaration stuff. That's the way we need to go. We don't need to worry about worship at the moment, let's do the declaration stuff. Hallelujah. Shanda Baka Sandari Kamba. That's Astoria, Ezra. Get the connection going in there. And the rest. Yep. All connected up. You were actually, by the way, you were all in the cross together. You remember that? In oneness with Jesus. We were all together there 2,000 years ago anyway. Yeah, I'm messing you up a little bit. But it's true. It's true. We're still together in it as a body. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we declare tonight, Father. Father, everything that we've talked about, Father, are defining the cross. And Father, we just say, Father, we are over struggling in life. And Father, I make that declaration that we are over struggling in life. I say that in the spiritual realm, we are over struggling in life. There shall be no more struggling. We are going to actually start defining the cross effectively. We're going to start defining what you have said effectively. And Father, we're going to start living some victorious life in you. And Father, we declare that tonight. You want to say this with me tonight? Tonight. Let this be my night. I have defined the Word of God correctly. I see that my life was in you. That you took me. I was crucified with you. My old life is dead. I have walked through with you in the cross. That my sins have been forgiven. The sin has no power over me. I have been baptized into your death. And I've been risen in your resurrection. Pilate, tonight, leave my old life behind. I accept that I am walking in the resurrection power. Even if I don't feel it tonight, I accept by faith that I come into resurrection power. And I leave my old life behind. And I accept the fact that my old life is dead. I will walk in that death. But I accept my resurrection. And I walk in my resurrection of new life and a new destiny. And I thank you, Jesus, that I'm on my road to happiness. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just believe that is so good because I know it's the Word of God and we define it correctly. Amen. Come on, read it, sister. Come out. Shinda, grab a seat. We're not finished yet. Thank you, Lord. Shinda,
come. Hello? Yeah. This is it. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.
Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, guys, I would really challenge you tonight. There was something, Lord was saying some stuff here tonight for us on that thing. When you go from here tonight and you hear somebody talk about sin, challenge them on it. Just pull those verses out and start challenging the body of Christ and what they believe. And say, this is what the Bible says. Start challenging every person you hear from that angle and just get the right in their face and say, hang on, my Bible says this. Are you dead yet? Come on, I mean it. Because you see, until we stand up and start defining the body, defining the Bible correctly, we'll continue in the same Mary hole, okay? If you hear somebody here in this group in the next few weeks say something negative, pull them up. And say, no, hang on, that's not who I am. I'm in resurrection power. And say, hang on, that's not who I am. And every time something happens, just something's cropping up, come on, you tell the devil, you tell God as well, I'm a dead man or I'm a dead woman. That's the old me and I'm not going to accept that any longer. Every time something crops up, you just speak it out. And I tell you, you do that long enough and you'll watch what happens. Hallelujah.